Hello.
Hello.
Ah, salam and good evening to you, worthy friend. Please, please, come closer. Too close, a little too close.
Welcome to episode 88 of the Disney Brit Podcast for Wednesday, the 15th of February. And joining me, as always, is Juz. Hello, Juz.
Hello, Adam. Hello, Disney Pod people.
How are you doing? Good week?
Good.
Good, good. How was Valentine's Day?
It's not till tomorrow.
No, it's Wednesday, remember?
Oh, right. It was downright spiffing.
What wonderful things did you do?
I don't know, I haven't done them yet.
Okay.
I hired a balloon and we went on a balloon trip. I flew her to Paris.
Yeah.
Left her there, came back with a little hottie from Moulin Rouge.
From Moulin? Nice. Hello, Kaz.
Hello.
And how was your Valentine's Day?
Yeah, it was brilliant, thank you.
See, she plays the game. She plays the game, you don't. Does anybody have anything actually planned for Valentine's Day?
I'm going to dinner tomorrow night.
Are you? Somewhere nice?
Pizza Express.
Oh, look at you, Peter. Juz, is it just like one Valentine's Day too many now, or are you actually doing something?
To be honest with you, every day is a Valentine's Day in our house. We don't bow down to this corporate rubbish.
That's a lie.
It is. I think just a hallmark day to make money out of everybody. You should show love all year.
I feel I've been particularly generous this year. I bought my wife a bunch of lilies and the second and third Twilight movie. There you go. We don't really do Valentine's in our house. We both sort of go, it's a bit commercial, let's not bother. And she's lucky because usually she tells me to buy her flowers the day after Valentine's Day because they're half the price. That's actually true. That is like a thing we've had in our house, like since forever. But there you go. It's not Valentine's yet, but it's nearly. But if you're listening to this, it kind of might be. And if you are listening to this on Valentine's Day, then why aren't you out celebrating Valentine's Day? That's quite
How can they listen to it if it's Valentine's Day if it's not out till Wednesday?
Because quite often the show is out on Tuesday.
But why say it's Wednesday then?
Because it's officially out on Wednesday.
Well, don't say Wednesday then. Just say welcome to the middle near the week or something.
Welcome
like that.
To this week's show.
Yes.
There you go.
That might be the 14th or the
15th. No, don't even say that.
Oh, okay. It's too late now, said it. Oh, dear me. But everyone's okay, I take it, yeah? Oh,
no, yes, thanks.
Talk about Dunks leaving. If you've checked out Disney Brit recently, you will notice that Dunks has left, but has now been recognised as a Disney inside ear. Which we don't really know what that is. And even Dunks doesn't really know what it is. And we've looked at the programme rules about it all, and we still are very unclear as to what it is. But, Juz, you wanted to sort of have a bit of a chat about this, didn't you?
No, I'm fine.
No, that's a lie. You wanted to have a chat about this.
It's a rant about everything. No, it's not a rant. It's a thing about everything, okay?
Go on, then.
Okay, for starters, to Paris alone, Disneyland Paris, we send 15.5 million people from York go there, yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Walt Disney World York, we send 1.5 million people across there.
Yeah.
California, no idea, 2 or 3 people, I think.
A couple, yeah.
And it goes back to the whole scenario. A, it picked me off about D23 and has always picked me off.
Yeah.
It never got brought across here. B, the Vinylmation bit, which Paul Boniface hates Vinyl. Well, I didn't hate, but he doesn't really like Vinylmations. But he said, you know, it should have make space for stuff like, you know, the clothing or stuff like that for adults.
Yeah.
This also picks me off because I agree with Paul. My argument was, why do we have these Disney shops that seem to pander towards kids? And do not sell the quality of products that you get in the Disney shops in America.
What do you do if you go to the much larger stores? If you go to Oxford Street,
Liverpool's,
you get the Disney
Liverpool's
couture.
My local store. It's a nice big store. I should be able to go in there and go on ties, cufflings, whatever. Anyway, so that annoys me.
Right.
And this has really taken the biscuit. We're sending, basically, 1.5 million people over there. We've got all these people, 15 million going to Disneyland Paris. And what do they do? They open it up to only American residents. Now, what on earth is an American resident going to know about what we Brits require from visiting Walt Disney World? The air travel, the ticket system's different here because we get the longer tickets, how we do things, because more than likely this is a trip that we will take once every, 5-10 years? Yeah. Let's be honest, if you're a normal person. And it's just the whole thing, just... I'd like to use an expletive, but I'm not on other people's podcasts, Disney podcasts, to do that. But it really is just, it's irritating the hell out of me. And they should actually go, actually, we should have, you know, there's a thousand people who are on there at the moment, isn't
there? At the moment, yeah. Now, we did contact Disney and we said to them, look, we're a British podcast, you know, we want to make sure that there's a British perspective on there. Are we able to take part in the test? And they just went, no.
This sums it up. They think Brits are just not worth the hassle about
now,
it. Very, very xenophobic.
There are people going now, why has Craig managed to get in? Well, Craig has got property in Orlando, therefore has a US address, therefore can get involved in it because he's based in the US. But if I just
and to be fair, it was Disney's mistake.
Yes.
He had all his address details with Disney or other things.
Yeah.
And they contacted him. He didn't contact them.
It does say here, in order to be eligible to participate in the program, you must be a legal resident of one of the 50 United States, the District of Columbia, or Puerto Rico. I don't quite know why Puerto Rico's in there as well, but there you go. But we don't really know.
He's as good as any other resident.
We kind of can't work out what it's there for, really.
The idea is meant to be more of a form. It's almost like an expansion of Disney Mums Panel.
Mm. Yeah. But we don't know whether you can actually access it unless you're actually a member. That's what's confusing everybody a little bit at the moment. Whether or not it's going to be a Facebook thing just for members, or whether it's going to be open to everybody. And...
It'd be weird having all these people like sharing their experiences if they're not actually going to have a public facing.
Well, exactly. That's what we were saying. It'd be like fans sharing tips with fans, or experts sharing tips with experts.
Which is massively pointless.
Which is a completely pointless waste of time. But I agree with Juz and the whole Disney store thing. You know, you do get the Disney Couture stuff at the larger Oxford Street store, but interestingly, none of that is available online. I've just done a very quick search while we've been talking on disneystore.co.uk to have a look at what they've got, and I've gone for men's clothing and accessories. And I go in there, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 watches. Which range from anywhere between £35 and £295 for a pocket watch. And then clothing-wise, you have an adult Woody costume, an adult Tigger, Mr. Incredible, and Jack Sparrow costume. And then clothing-wise... Oh, you got a set of cufflinks, and then clothing-wise are Iron Man slippers. So, yes, when we talk about adult clothing, men's clothing, there's nothing on there at all. If we go to female clothing...
Do you know what? Can I just say something which I really do like?
Yeah.
And that's things like the kitchen stuff.
Yeah, the kitchen stuff.
You know, like the placemats. I got the cutlery I got, 3 years ago, my Disney cutlery, which was amazing. That kind of thing, I would like to walk around and see household goods as well.
Yes,
I want to make my house a bit more Disney-fied.
Well, Disney Couture stuff's online for females. It's obviously a female line. And they've got a lot more female wallets, bags, clothing, that sort of stuff, which is a shame that they don't have Freddos. But I agree with you with all that sort of homeware stuff. They have some great homeware, but my big issue, again, and I keep coming back to this, is the price of delivery by Disney Store. Just how expensive it all is. You know, okay, there are some things you can buy which aren't as expensive. Like, there's a Mickey Mouse kettle here for £30, which looks really cool. And it'd be like £5 for delivery, which is absolutely fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you're buying a Vinylmation and it's still £5 for delivery, knowing how small that thing is, and I'll keep bringing the point up, the fact that I live 10 minutes away from Disney Store Europe and I could go and collect it, and there's no possibility of doing that. I still think it's just a ridiculous amount. They are still doing that 50
considering
pounds.
Though, you can order something from Tesco the day before, Tesco Direct. I can have it delivered to my Tesco store for free and pick it up there. Why can't I say I'll pick it up from Liverpool One?
That would be a better idea.
That would be a good idea. That would work brilliantly. And you just go in and collect it. I think some of the smaller stores would be difficult because they don't have the storage space.
No,
when
but
you think about Sheffield,
every store
Liverpool
must
One,
get a delivery
Manchester,
once a week, mustn't they?
They get more than once a week.
Right, so all they do is they lob it on the wagon to come out.
Yeah. But it's whether they've got the storage space backstage to do it. Now, I'm thinking about the store that I worked in, the stores I've worked in the sort of years ago now. There weren't that much space in a lot of them backstage. I'm not saying that all of them don't have the space, but some of the larger stores certainly would have the space to do sort of orders like that. And I suppose we're not talking about a grand scale of Debenhams or Argos or anything like that that would have a lot of people ordering online and Tesco. But yeah, it would certainly be a much
easier It'd be nice to have
idea.
The option, yeah.
Exactly, because then you can actually gauge how much, if you need more space, you suddenly go, wow, we've actually got on something here, which is a massive winner.
Yeah.
As a Disney store, surely they'll be made up if suddenly go, do you know what, we just don't have enough space, the amount of stuff people are ordering, who've already paid for it, will come in the store and pick it up and might buy something on impulse while they're there.
Yeah.
It's a win-win.
And I'm also, you know, I'm reluctant to buy a lot of stuff online because I'm a Disney shareholder, so I get discount. I get 10% discount on anything I buy in the Disney store, whereas if I do it online, I don't get anything. So I'm sort of very reluctant in that sense to buy... Mm. Anything online, but also I've got the problem that Vinylmations, some of them I have to buy online because I can't buy them in store. Talking about Vinylmations, DisneyStore.co.uk are right depleted on what you can get at the minute. As I speak, you've got the Have a Laugh, you've got a 9-inch Jafar and Genie, a 3-inch UK flag, and the Kidada sort of Peter Pan ice cream sundae, and that is your lot. That's rubbish. That's nothing. So we've got no animation left, no Lion King, that's all gone, the whole lot. There doesn't seem to be anything again. So we're going back to that whole issue again, aren't we, of there being nothing there.
They hate the UK.
That's what it is. So basically we need Vinylmation sorting, we need deliveries to local stores, we need inside ears to be opened up to the world rather than just the US, because actually, as much as Disney like to think, the US aren't the only market in the world. And... anything else, or is that our wish list?
That sounds about all of it.
Oh, and Disney movies to be brought out at the same time in the UK as they are in the US. So yeah,
and more adult merchandise.
And more adult merchandise. Yeah. Is that everything?
I think so.
Oh, right, there you go. That's our rant.
Rant over.
Rant done. And if you don't like ranting, we've finished it now, so that's fine. And we're moving on. So let's just tell you what we've got on the show today. We've got some news and rumours, as we always do have. We've got some UK stuff, which we don't have very much of, but we've got it this time. And... also, we've had a couple of emails from people who have sort of said, look, you keep talking about this Vinylmation stuff, and we just don't really understand much about it. We don't know anything about it, really. Can you explain a little bit more? So we're going to...
Yeah, I hope you don't mind me emailing that to you.
Yeah, no, that's good. I'm glad you did. I'm glad Kez did as well. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had any emails for a segment. That's the whole point. We have had a few. Vicky Wells is one that I remember off the top of my head, who have basically asked, can you tell us more about Vinylmation? So we're going to do... I suppose what you could class as an idiot's guide to Vinylmation. So everything you need to know about where to get them from, what they are, the types they are, and what you can do with them, really. So we're going to be coming on to that a little bit later. So without any further ado, let's start with today's news and rumours.
Good morning, sire.
Good morning, Zazu.
Checking in with the morning report.
Fire away.
Head straight into the parks then, and we're going over to Epcot because there's been some changes at Innoventions, hasn't there, Kez?
Yep, there used to be a exhibition in Innoventions called Don't Waste It, and they've now replaced that with Habit Heroes, which is a weird, I don't know if you've seen the Lazy Town thing with Sportacus, it's like that but Disneyfied. It opened on the 3rd of February, and it's a series of mini games that you play with your families, and you get given a different coloured wristband when you get in. It's red, yellow, blue and green, and that divides you into the teams, and there's special like team games that you have to play that rely on your colour, and you're fighting supervillains. It's all based around comic book type of things, and so you are the Habit Heroes, and you're fighting people like the Duchess of Doom, Sonic Boom and Serial Killer. And there's also some adult
ones
as well.
Is that like Sonic the Hedgehog?
A bit like that, but with loud music, apparently.
There you go.
And there's ones for adults like Nicotina and Ice Cappuccino to stop people smoking and drinking too much coffee.
Wow, that's interesting. That they've But do you not find it interesting that they've got an alcoholic alcohol and smoking?
Thank,
character inside a Disney theme park.
I think it is.
It's not promotion at the whole... case. It's not like the character stood there with a packet of cigarettes and a lager in his hand.
I think Nicotina is, actually. She's standing with a cigarette.
Go on, kiddies, have a smoke.
But, well, no, but you're fighting her, so I think, because they're seen as the bad guys, I think it's seen as okay.
Okay.
And so, yeah, like, the first game that you have to play, it's actually quite a health and safety issue when I watched a video of it online. You have a massive, it looks like a 270-degree screen above you, and all these little consoles everywhere with four little buttons on, and these monitors of your colour fall down, and you have to go to the console nearest that falling monitor and press the corresponding colour, so your team colour, to blow it up before it reaches the bottom. And so there's people like darting backwards and forwards, so I can see some accidents happening there. And the whole like waiting area is themed on like an old style gym with antique trophies and stuff everywhere, which looks really, really cool. And the last game that you have to do, you stand in a big room. It's supposed to be like a nightclub or a disco, and you have these coloured squares on the floor, and you all stand on your coloured squares, and you have to do all the exercises and the dance moves to, there's a big fat
you
have to push through the wall by your movements. So it looks quite good, and it's also online. There's so if you're not in the parks, you can visit their website and you can battle the villains in your everyday lives. So I actually downloaded this on, because there's a mobile version as well, and tried to do it, but there's one called Insomnia, and you have to beat her by getting more than 6.5 hours sleep over a period of a week, which I didn't manage to do.
You didn't. You failed the Insomnia challenge.
So, well, yeah, I worked too hard, but so they should have a workaholic one as well. So, yeah, but it's good. So, no matter where you are in the world and with your children, you can set them little tasks so that they can beat these supervillains. You have your own online profile.
You know the download app that you, the mobile version, is that like through the web or is it an app?
It's
you download your phone, so it's
web one. Right. So it's over all smartphones.
That's good, because usually you find there's an issue with them releasing it in the US but not in the UK and all that sort of stuff.
No, it's worldwide.
From the videos you've seen, what's the throughput of guests or number of guests for this? Do you know?
The only videos I've seen were in the preview week, but there seemed to be quite a steady number. It looked quite popular.
Right, I just didn't know whether it was going to reduce the amount of people that are going to be able to take part in things in adventures, because remember, Don't Waste It. I had a good number of people who could use it at any one time, and it wasn't like you had to, it was a continuous thing where people just joined in whenever things were going on, whereas this is almost like a show, or
I think it's segregated into four areas, and I think it works a bit like, there's that game, I can't remember the name of it, where you go into the house that's on fire and you have the torches and you shine them in the
fire,
different
isn't it?
That's the one. It's like that, but in four sections. So right. I think it's just a constant movement. I think the group seemed to be about 16 people when it was going through, so four standard families at a time in each area.
Okay. Well, I'm just wondering trying to think of what the difference is with how many people can go into Don't Waste It, whether this will have that impact on decreasing
the number
of people.
I don't really see it being that popular, mate.
Well, yeah... I don't know. It would be interesting to see what it's like. Because my problem with interventions is sometimes you go and take part in stuff and it's just a little bit too on the educational side. So, like, the Great Piggy Bank Adventure, it was good fun, being piggy and all that sort of stuff and passing it around. But some of the things you were doing were like, some kids would be like, this is quite dull. This is not interesting at all. Don't Waste It was quite cool because you had your own mini little... car. They got rid of the Segway that used to be there. That was quite cool. Where's the Fire is with the torches. That's still going, isn't it? I'm trying to think what else.
You know, I've just noticed going through what Kez was talking about, that this, the new character they're bringing in for this as well, Britomatic. Apparently what happens is you have a character who's going around putting Vinylmation products in UK Disney stores as well as household items and clothing, and you've got to go around as quickly as possible and take it off the store shelves, or at the very least damage the boxes of the Vinylmation to make them unsellable.
Okay.
Apparently that's the most popular game.
Most popular game? Right, yeah. Okay, Britomatic, I like that. So he goes around and destroys stuff, basically. That's quite cool. And does he do anything else, or is it just the UK stores that he comes and attacks and destroys?
No, it's just all that, you know, and they keep coming up with ideas. Suddenly you get like a D23 coming in and he manages to save that and push it back out by increasing the postage and packing.
Oh dear, we got a proper downer today, haven't we? What's going on there?
Sometimes you slip through. There's always a Dunk-O-Matic who slips through.
A Dunk-O-Matic?
Claiming American taxes.
That's basically what he is. He is Dunk-O-Matic. It's just Craig just going around and grabbing people and being miserable. I'm just trying to check what we've got in else we've got in here that's slightly different. We've got, oh, the Stormstruck. That was all right. But again, it's one of those things that you sort of do once and then maybe not again. The Rockin' Robots, which is the band. That's old now. That can go. House of Inventions. Well, it's not anymore. I can't really forget what the new name of it is. That's quite cool. Some of All Thrills is good. Mm. I like Some of All Thrills. Interventions needs a real update, doesn't it? I suppose, in the sense that it's getting very, very educational.
Yeah, just go to Apple and say, Apple, what would you do for this space? They'd make something amazing there.
That would be cool.
Apple and Disney, they're there already as a concept, aren't they? As a business. So why not make it Apple's Intervention? Imagine the throughput you'd get there as well.
That would be cool. There you go. There's our little new idea. That's what we'd like to see. Right, talking about changes then, there seems to be a change to FastPass, of which some people know about, and so we didn't even realise it was a problem anyway.
This isn't really a change. What Disney are saying is this is a reiteration of the stance they've always had.
Yeah.
The problem is that it's been popular on a lot of podcasts to say, no, this is how you do it. What people used to say is go and get yourself a fast pass. And if you go back a couple of hours later, they will honour it. And this was plugged on a lot of podcasts out there. I'm not going to mention any names. And basically what they're now saying is there's been a memo going back out to cast members saying, excuse me, will you stop doing this, laddos? And what they're saying is, when the fast pass zone is out there from 7th of January, I don't know why they put a date in it because it's always been there, you've got to come, the guests have got to come back in that window of opportunity on your fast pass from your start to your finish. And if they don't, you say, tough, get out, go away. Which is never going to happen, I tell you now. And if I was reading between the lines here, Mr. Goodkeeper, I would say this is all because of the fancy people getting the deluxe results with the fancy fast passes, so the common people aren't going to get in their way. But no, it's a reiteration of what the rules were already said. You can only come between that window, whereas beforehand, and I have known people say this, is you can go back, let's say, 20 minutes, half an hour later, and actually just wander up, and they would accept your fast pass on that.
It's true. Yeah, it's exactly what used to happen, and I've done it before, where they just basically, if it's that day then and it's after that time, then they just allow you to go through, and it was never a problem. Interestingly, when we posted this article up on the website, because obviously we get it links through to Facebook and Twitter and that sort of stuff, we had no end of comments from people who said, I had no idea you could do this anyway. So it looks like it's, although it is a reiteration, as we've already said, it doesn't seem like it's an issue with regards to a lot of people, because they never realised you couldn't do it anyway. It does mean, though, surely, that we're going to end up with the problem that we currently have over at Disneyland Paris, which I hate, which is those people who are waiting for their fast pass, and they basically crowd the fast pass entrance, and you have to fight your way through if you've got a fast pass for the right time. Will this not happen, do you think? Will that not begin to take place at Walt Disney World?
I think it will. Like, already at Toy Story Mania, every time I'm there, there are hundreds of people around that flipping fast pass entrance and you can't get through. So I think you're going to see that more and more around the other areas now.
That's my only concern, that will begin to happen, because it is insane that that happens at Disneyland Paris, and they allow it to happen. That's, I think, the worst bit, rather than the fact that it does happen. It's the fact they allow it to happen. But I wonder whether this is part of a bigger picture, and whether this is the start of them bringing in these sort of, not VIP fast passes, but fast passes for those people who are staying in deluxe resorts and moderate resorts, where they're going to be able to book them ahead of time, whether this is trying to make sure that those people are then going to be able to use that new system properly.
I think so, because obviously the technology can't, it knows you're allowed admittance between this time and this time.
Yeah.
And if you're out that time, it wouldn't be able to comprehend that. So I think they're tightening the structure now just to get people into that mindset.
It would be interesting to see whether people will complain about this, because you know, as Disney fans, we have known that there's been this sort of like loophole in the rules about Fastpass, and because of it being a loophole, no one's ever said anything, but people have sort of said, oh, do you know what, if you go and try this, then you'll get it and it won't be a problem. And whether people are going to try and argue the point that they used to be able to do it when they know that they shouldn't have done it in the first place, whether people are just going to accept it and just let it go and let it happen. I will be very, very intrigued to see what happens with this and whether or not people make a complaint and whether it just runs as normal. Right, let's head into the resorts very quickly, because coming up very, very soon is going to be the brand new Art of Animation Resort. It's opening in May of this year. And they've put some artwork up about what this new animation, Art of Animation's ink and paint shop is going to look like. And this is properly bright and colourful. In fact, they've got some of the Walt Disney World interns to be taking part in this, and there's a lady called Lindsay Vincent who's been given the responsibility of sorting out all the merchandise fixtures. And if you've not been over to Disney Brit and looked at this, it's also over on the Disney Parks blog. They've basically got large tubs of paint, and it looks like large sort of ink paints, and they've almost cut the front off and put shelving in, and it looks like they're just giant shelves. And also they've got this amazing mosaic floor that sort of alters in colour. It's got the same sort of colour pattern in sections, but it's lighter or darker and elements in there. And also, this is how geeky it got, and it's kind of made me laugh a little bit. The fact they've even put concept art of the fixtures and merchandise stands that you're going to get, and a photo of the materials that they've used for it, which I kind of think that's proper geeky. But Lindsay did say location planning was a key department that helped with the design process. So they provided me with a number of face-outs or areas that will carry merchandise. My job was then to design fixtures that would achieve their number while balancing other factors like traffic flow and shop design. She said, we had several different versions of fixtures during the development process. Ultimately, we chose clean, simple designs that remind me of an animator's workspace. For this project, I wanted materials that had recycled content, had Green Guard certification for indoor air quality, and were manufactured in the US. The fixtures I am most excited about are the nested tables, which are made from recycled concrete material. So they're going for sort of a recycled look, but also a kind of really cool paint kind of look. Have you both seen the images of this?
No.
Only briefly then.
Not to be out.
I saw it in passing.
Oh, well, you were there?
I was.
What are you doing breaking into the Art of Animation Resort?
I don't know. Well, I was trying to get one for the British team. There you go.
Oh, is that what you do? Oh, so
exactly. I thought I should be a British intern.
All right, so you're trying to.
They wouldn't have me because I was British.
Now, you're a bit of a designer, aren't you, Kez?
Mm-hmm.
So, with regard, I know you don't design shops as such, but it's...
I've helped design restaurants, though.
You helped design restaurants, there you go.
She moved some chairs at McDonald's.
Oi, I designed Gaucho.
Who?
Gaucho.
Never heard of it. Anyway,
Best steakhouse in London.
Is it? No, rubbish. Never been there.
I've never heard of it. It's obviously not that good, is it?
No, I've not heard of it.
No Manny's. Is the design process for designing a shop the same as your designing website, or is this something that's very different in style?
I think it all begins in a very similar way, because whatever you're designing, you come up with your concept. So you'll have all your mood boards and stuff. So that's the kind of thing that they've done. They thought, right, okay, what do we need it to look like? What themes are we running with? And so you all start from the same kind of thing, and then it's just the medium at the end that's different.
Right, okay. Well, that's cleared that up. So that's the new ink paint shop that opens 31st of May. Okay, heading over to Kez and to the Magic Kingdom.
Right, they have introduced four new menus at the at four different table service restaurants at the Magic Kingdom. Tony's Town Square, Liberty Tree, Cinderella's Royal Table and the Plaza. And they are for children ages 3 to 9. And they're offering, rather than the traditional like mac and cheese and chicken nuggets and things like that, they're trying to introduce a little something that's a bit more adult and healthier for the children. So again, going with the healthy theme that's started in Epcot. And they're going to offer things like steak skewers with roasted sweet potato fries and fresh fruit. And that's at Tony's Town Square. They've got barbecue chicken and pineapple flatbread with a side of crisp vegetables and apples.
Nice.
At the Liberty Tree, which sounds very yummy. Cinderella's Royal Table's got chicken drumettes and rice and broccolini, or grilled beef skewers with mash and corn, chicken pot pie topped with a biscuit crust. That sounds quite nice. And the Plaza have got grilled chicken slices, couscous and fresh fruit skewers. So going very much for the more adult palates that some children have.
Just sound like kids' meals for posh people.
It is. It's nice, though, because I know as a kid that I didn't like the traditional things like mac and cheese and things like that.
She was a posh person.
I was brought up well, no. But no, I think it's nice because obviously it's a lot healthier as well than the standard offerings, which is nice to see.
Right, let's test out whether this is going to be a hit or not. Right, okay. Juz, so you reckon, Kez, as a kid, you would definitely have eaten all of that, right?
Not all of it, but most of it, yeah.
Most of it, okay. Juz, if your kids, right, and you offered them couscous, what would they say to you?
To be fair, the same as me. Ugh.
Yeah, exactly.
To be fair, I spend most of my time at the kids' bit. They have great meatballs and they have mac and cheese. I love the kids' bit.
They do have good mac and cheese.
I have to push the little ones out of the way. Get out of the way, kids.
I don't know whether you can... I don't know.
I think it's nice to have the option, though. So
the option of couscous, which is neither rice or pasta.
With parents
confused.
Who are like healthy eating freaks, and they don't really understand even
you
what...
You heard it here, folks. If you're a healthy eater, you're a freak. Send your emails to kez@youshouldn'tbesomiserable.com. Oh, sorry, I don't know. Anyway, so you're saying healthy
really,
eaters
really, couscous
are freaks,
is macaroni cheese. It's macaroni just shrunk down. It's pasta.
Is it?
Couscous is a pasta, isn't it?
Couscous is.
I thought it's like a rice type.
I think it's a pasta.
I'm going to find out. Couscous, let's see. It's a pasta dish of semolina, traditionally served with a meat or vegetable stewed spooned over it.
So basically, at the end of the day, all it is macaroni.
Semolina.
Whack some
basically.
Cheese on it, you've got macaroni and cheese.
Yes, yeah, so it's macaroni and cheese made with different pasta.
The things like the flatbread and stuff sounds nice.
Flatbread is just someone can be bothered putting yeast in it.
But it's like pizza, though, like barbecue chicken and pineapple flatbread.
Yeah, I've got to admit, they do look quite nice.
No. Yeah. Just call it pizza. Stop fannying around.
Yeah, well, there is that as well. They do not like... The flatbreads do look tasty, though. That the picture of that one, it's got barbecue on it, which barbecue sauce...
Get your
loaf and
sit on it.
I just don't know whether it's quite the right place. I know we've always complained that the Magic Kingdom doesn't have the best eating options. I just don't know when this
it
is.
It does. Crystal Palace.
Yeah, but no, we're talking like standard of food wise. The Magic Kingdom's
like
far
Palace.
Behind. Yeah, the food's okay, but it's far behind Epcot.
No, it isn't.
Or
well, that's
MGM
different.
Studios.
That's World Showcase. Take World Showcase out of it. Is it behind Epcot?
Yeah.
So you're taking World Showcase out of Epcot?
No, actually, yeah, no, you're right.
Hey, thank you. MGM? Sorry. Hollywood Studios.
Hollywood Studios, yes, I think it's behind Hollywood Studios.
Do you? I think Hollywood Studios is cat.
No, but you've got Brown Derby, you've got Sci-Fi Diner, you've got
Mama Melrose.
50s Primetime. Mama Melrose, what didn't have a great experience last
time? That's just mashed potato and stuff.
But you've got 50s Primetime, which is really cool. It's like your meatloafs and that sort of stuff. I think the food there is probably much better than you get in the Magic Kingdom.
I go against this. I think we should just pull the two menus up and go through.
Okay, which has the best eateries in the in Walt Disney World? Is it MGM Studios or is it Magic Kingdom? Email podcast@disneybrit.com. We want to know.
Or Animal Kingdom or Epcot, but you got to take World Showcase out of it.
Yeah, okay, or Epcot or Animal Kingdom, but you got to take World Showcase out of the equation for Epcot. Okay, that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
So which one do you think it is? That's what we want to know. So email us podcast@disneybrit.com. And we'll find out. And if we've got enough people, we'll find out next episode. Right, heading over to Animal Kingdom then, and let's find out some stuff about Kilimanjaro Safaris.
Okay, little Ed's dead. We also got sick of saving him and just said, I'm fed up with saving you. Off you go. Take him.
Basically.
He's going to the Jungle Cruise.
Mash him up. Whack him in. Pizza Safari.
He had weight issues, and he's going over to Habit Heroes as a new character.
Just on the meat sliced up. So he's gone. Oh, wait a minute.
So actually, maybe Animal Kingdom's food is much better than everybody else because they're now serving elephant.
Anyway, he's gone. Basically, what they want to do is they got rid of Little Red because they wanted to bring back zebras. Because zebras apparently were a bit narky beforehand, so they kicked them out. They promised to be ultra good, so they let them back in again. So the area where they did the rescue is going to be Zebraland, and I haven't got a clue what the storyline is going to be now.
Do you not?
You know, they should scrap the storyline. I did the Sunrise Safari.
Oh, yeah.
And I found that really, really interesting when all they did was talk about the animals and go, look, here's an alligator or crocodile. It's got this many teeth. It eats people. That was really interesting. There's a lion. It's asleep. So I think they should scrap all that out and just do a proper safari.
I think they'll have to, because taking out all the elements, there's no way the audio and stuff is going to work anymore.
Well, I learned that zebras are zebras no matter where you are in the world. They are not zebras. Their official name is zebra. And they're brown and white and not black and white.
Okay. That's true, yeah.
That's all down to Disney Animal Kingdom.
Aren't they black with white stripes?
No. The if you get really close to them, the actual black stripe is actually brown hair. It's just the fact it looks black from a distance.
So they're white with black stripes or brown stripes?
It doesn't really matter.
No, but there it does, because they said that they're one colour with one sort of stripes. I'm sure they said they were white with black stripes.
They're a barcode, but they're brown and white.
If you use that red
if
lace...
If you scan them, you go straight to Disney Inner Ears Craig Duncan.
Inside Ears Craig. Is it like there's that red laser app that you get on your iPhone that if you scan the barcode, it tells you where you can get them from the cheapest? Does it tell you where the cheapest zebra is?
I'd have thought so.
Oh, okay. That sounds good. I like that idea. Right, so have we actually told anybody what's going on at Kilimanjaro?
We just told them. So Little Red's dead.
Little Red is
dead. The zebras are coming back.
We haven't got a clue what the story's going to be.
Right, okay.
You're not paying attention. Kez listened.
I was paying attention. I was listening to everything you said.
Thank you.
As Kez was listening, I knew she'd back me up and cover my tracks. It's fine. Right, let's tell you a little bit about what's happening in Downtown Disney, which is the Rainforest Cafe, is going under a major refurb, a reasonably big refurb at the moment, which is including some development of the volcano. Currently the volcano on top spews out a little bit of smoke every now and again. It looks cool, but it's sort of lost a little bit of the pizzazz it used to have. And according to new concept art from the Rainforest Cafe, it's now going to have almost what could be looking like lava coming down the side with more a reddish or coloured smoke coming out. There's also going to be two bright coloured Rainforest Cafe signs stuck on either side. And they've got this new thing called the Lava Lounge, which is going to be coming to the back of the Rainforest Cafe area as well. They haven't really announced much details about what exactly this is going to be and how exactly this is going to work. But it's definitely under a lot of construction. They are currently dismantling the volcano. And we're hoping that that's going to only take a very short time, and it should be open in the next month or two. So keep your eye out here. We'll let you know what's going on with that. Okay, so I think that's the last piece we've got for Walt Disney World. And we're heading down to Port Canaveral because we're jumping on the Disney Fantasy because they've announced some more information about some of the new items coming to the ship.
Yep, there's lots of exciting water features coming to the Disney Fantasy, which not all of them are in the Disney Dream, so exciting. The main, like, big different one is the Aqualab that's coming, which is a series of... it's like a big walkway with loads of pipes and tubes and fountains everywhere, and it's supposed to be Huey, Dewey and Louie's lab where they created the original aqueduct. And it says on their website that... there are wheels and pulleys and things that you can use to control the temperature and the speed of the aqueduct that is on board. And they put control in inverted commas, so I'm guessing it's fake control rather than actually freezing the poor people at speed along the aqueduct. It sounds quite
guessing
fun.
That's not going to happen.
There's a new adult pool called Satellite Falls, which is like, there's a big... dome in the middle that has a rainfall effect, and so you can just sit. It's a pleasant, like, 2 foot deep water, so you can sit under the waterfall and sunbathe.
Nice.
There's the usual family pools that are on the midship, and there's a lovely new adult pool called the Quiet Cove pool, and the main highlight of that is the cove bar, so you don't even need to leave the pool to visit the bar. Sit and relax.
That sounds cool. I would say we took Harry to... Yes, we took him with us. To the Alton Towers Water Park over the weekend. And there's a... I can't remember what the name of the area is, but it's like a player, and you have loads of... sort of things you can turn and pull, and they create water and make water appear from all over the place. And you were stood up on one thing, and you pulled a chain, it let a load of water into a water butt below, which had three plugs in. You could pull one of the plugs out, and that meant the water would flow through to somewhere over the other side. So you'd sit and wait for a person to sit underneath it, and then you pull it out, and all this water would dump down on top of people. Or there was one where there was like a grate in the floor, and you pulled something, and this water came up. So we stood and waited for these two girls to go past, and then squirted them in water and all this sort of stuff. And it's so much fun. And it just genuinely, we were there for like an hour, probably, just playing around in this stuff. And it's got this big bucket that fills with water and dumps on top of people. And I was, when we were in there, I was thinking about what they're putting on the Disney Fantasy. And it's going to be awesome for kids to be able to go and play with this stuff. And, you know, be able to stand there and suddenly pull a lever and squirt somebody over to the other side and all that sort of stuff that's going to go on. And the fact that they're putting it on a ship is even better. They've not got anything like this in the parks at the moment. Curious George goes to town, I think, at Universal is the closest thing they've sort of got in the Florida or the Orlando area with this sort of thing. So it's going to be amazing when they begin to put this on the ships and begin to work. Did you say they were doing with the Aqueduct again?
There were control switches in the Aqua Lab, which controlled the temperature and speed of the aqueduct, but I don't think they actually do.
Right, okay.
Fake control.
Yeah,
it would be amusing if it wasn't.
It was a trapdoor over the top of the bit that goes over the side of the ship.
There you go.
Don't like them at dinner. Bye. Gone. I don't think that's going to happen. Did you say something, Jez? Sorry.
I said you don't listen to Kaz either.
No, I did. I did listen to Kaz. I just didn't.
But then you just said, what's all that about the aqueduct thing, Kaz?
I didn't pick up what she said about that bit because I was looking.
Eating cake.
No, I finished my cake. That went ages ago. Anyway, let's head on a plane. Let's fly over to Disneyland Paris because we've got some... Well, it's Disneyland Paris and UK news for those of you who might have Sky Television.
For the joy of paying like 70 or 80 quid a month...
£8 million a year.
Rupert Murdoch is giving you the chance to get two free tickets to join in the 20th anniversary party.
As long as he can tap your phone. No, sorry.
Yes. He's already contacted. He knows who's got it. Basically, take your family. Take two of you to Disneyland Paris. There's no hotel involved. No transport getting there. You get two free tickets anyway. But you actually work out how much you pay Rupert Murdoch anyway per year, like I do, and it's quite scary anyway. Basically, the only two things you need to know is you need to book your two Disneyland tickets by 11:59 on the 30th of April. Because at midnight, tough, too late. Yeah. And you've got to travel between the 1st of April and the 31st of October this year. Other than that, I believe there's no restrictions, no blackout dates, Ad?
No, not that I know of. I don't think there's any blackout dates in there at all.
So, take what you can.
Well, it's nice that you get your tickets back. You get that included. So if we work it out, you're basically getting a month's free Sky, because that's about exactly what it costs for two tickets to
Disneyland. They don't give you anything for free.
It's just a one-day ticket, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right, so you would have to... I don't know whether it would work that you'd be able to upgrade it.
I'm sure you can. I'm sure there'll be like... I'm too willing to, yeah.
And I'm sure there'll be a wonderful offer of being able to include hotel at this sort of rate and that sort of thing.
We saw something similar with his other power arm, the Sun, didn't we?
The Sun, yes.
So there is an affiliation there, and obviously they did that, and Disneyland Palace have gone, whoa, that was magnifique! And decided to offer them a bit more, better deal, and I think that's probably what's happened, so...
It only works if you're already planning to go to Disneyland Paris and you haven't bought your tickets yet, because then you are saving money. Whereas if you look at this and go, oh brilliant, they're giving us free tickets for Disneyland Paris, let's go, you're getting two free tickets, but you're now paying out for your transport and your hotel and all that sort of stuff. So
we need to
go
out again together.
We did that, was good fun. That was
when
we had our brilliant trip out, and we were just very silly, and it was very good fun. We do need to go out again very soon, especially as the 20th anniversary is coming up, and we need to go and see all the wonderful stuff that's going on.
Don't tell Kez that we're going.
No, Kez can't come. She's not allowed. She's a girl.
Have to stay in the kitchen.
You said it, not us. if you are going and you have got Sky, then A, you've got far too much money because you've got Sky, and B, you can save yourself a bit of money by getting those two free tickets. I don't have Sky anymore. I got rid of it because of how expensive it was. And I'm now BT Vision. I don't get anything free with that, which is rubbish. Right, let's say they're staying in the UK. We've got two exciting live events to tell you about that are coming up over the next year and beyond. You know, The Lion King has been running in the West End since 1999 and has been doing exceptionally well, still filling the theatre during the weekends, and it's still having a really good run during the week as well. Well, after 4 years of planning, Disney have decided and have announced that they will now be taking this show on tour. It's going to be going to 10 different cities in the next 2.5 years. And so far, they've announced 2 dates that it's going to be going to. The tour's going to begin in August. It's going to have an 11-week residency at the Bristol Hippodrome. It's going to start its run officially on the 6th of September, although previews are going to start from the 31st of August. Then it's going to pack up on the 17th of November, and then it's heading north. It's going up to Manchester's Palace Theatre, where it'll begin its run on the 6th of December through to the 31st of March. A huge run. And that's going to be beginning previews on the 1st of December. Now, Thomas Schumacher has said that following years of planning and after receiving the counsel of some very smart friends in the British theatre world, we are delighted to be launching a production that conveys Julie Taymor's epic vision, and at the moment that feels absolutely right. Now, what I want to know from you guys is this. Do you think they are doing this because there are less people going to see the show in London and they're going to be thinking about ending it, or do you think this is an addition?
I think it is a look towards them ending it, if I'm honest. Because it has been around a long time now, and even though it is popular, the weekdays are not filling as much as obviously the weekends, and I think they need to get the extra revenue. But then maybe they're testing the waters to see how popular it still is and spreading it further, because I know Phantom of the Opera are doing something similar this year. And they are staying obviously in the West End.
It does.
I don't think so. I think what it is coming to the common sense that, you know, things are tight and people might not travel, whereas you take someone to the doorstep, they're more likely to come and see it, where they can't afford to go down to London and spend a night down there and come back again. They have to change their business model a bit.
I think that, but also I do wonder whether or not it might be coming to an end. And the reason I think that is because Disney have only ever done one of the UK tour, and that was Mary Poppins. And they did that after it had finished in the West End. And then they toured it round. I think it went to Manchester, it went to Birmingham, I think it went to Scotland somewhere. I think that went to Bristol. It certainly started in Bristol, I don't know whether it went back. But that's the only time they've ever taken a show on tour. And I don't know whether they are going to... I doubt that Disney will not have a presence in the West End. I don't think they're ever going to be in a position where they're going to get rid of Lion King and then have nothing. I think they make far too much money from having that presence in the West End, and I just wonder whether, because Lion King has been going for so long now, they're taking that out, they're going to put something new. There's plenty of other stuff that could come over. They could reincarnate Beauty and the Beast. We've not seen Little Mermaid over here.
I really want that to come over.
Tarzan, that never made it over to the UK either. So there's Aida, I think. They had a show called On the Record, which was set in a recording studio and used a lot of the classic Disney songs as like a pop repertoire. That did an off-Broadway and did a US tour. We've never seen that either. So there are several shows that could, in theory, replace The Lion King and bring in a new audience. Also, there's a possibility they could bring something brand new. The amount of times we've talked about how Rapunzel, how Tangled could become quite easily a musical. I don't know. Because Mary Poppins did start its origins in the UK.
So, do we know how expensive the tickets are going to be?
No, we still don't know the price, because they have not yet released any of the details or the prices of what it's going to be. Some people have received emails telling them that they can buy tickets in advance, and apparently some people have already got hold of their tickets. At the time of writing that particular article, there was no prices available. I'm just going to have a quick double check now on the website, so I can find if it's telling me anything. No, it's just telling me, certainly the Manchester is telling me that, tickets from £20 to £75. That's for the Manchester.
So it's the same as the West End, pretty much.
Pretty much. I don't know whether they go up to 75 at the West End, whether they actually made it that far. But that's £75 is a lot of money. Is it not? Would you pay £75 to see a show?
Not for a touring show, I wouldn't.
Just?
Well, no, you're talking about £75. What was the starting price? 20?
20.
Well, there you go.
Which is
that's probably restricted you.
You've gone to the very top range here. It's like saying, oh, I don't want to go and watch the NFL in, you know, when they come to Wembley, because the tickets are £1,000 each. That's the VIP box.
Yeah, because I would never pay that much to see a show.
So, you know, let's be honest, what you should be saying is, would you spend £20 to go and watch the show? And the answer is yes.
Yeah, I'd pay 20 quid to see it, but it depends how far back you are. That's the only thing.
This is not a very big theatre, on in Manchester.
The Palace? I've never been, so I don't know.
It's not a big theatre, so wherever you are, it's going to be good. I think you can pay them more if you're going to go in the boxes, I think, other than that. Okay. No, I think.
Right, there we go. There's no news on what it's going to be in Bristol, but I'm guessing it's going to be something similar. I would guess Disney will be setting the price rather than the theatre themselves. Well, that's not the only live event coming, because we've got Fantasia coming to London.
Yep, it's on the 21st of October, which is a Sunday, and it's coming to the Royal Albert Hall. And the London Philharmonia are bringing Fantasia to life. So it's going to feature songs from both the original Fantasia and Fantasia 2000. And you're going to have high-def screenings of the animation along with the live music. It's going to be fantastic, and it's going to include things like the Nutcracker Suite, Rhapsody in Blue, and, of course, the Sorcerer's Apprentice. And I think these are quite reasonable tickets, actually. It's £15 to £55, and for the Royal Albert Hall, that's not bad.
£55 for the top price. Depends how... I don't know how long the concert's going to be.
I don't know.
It doesn't say, but it doesn't say it's a selection from the two movies, isn't it?
Yes. So it won't be the full two movies.
Right. That's a shame.
Mm.
I kind of would have liked to have had like the first movie interval, second movie, because they're not that long, I don't think, if I remember rightly. So it's just going to be... I'd like to know more about what the selection is. But anyway, whether or not I know what the selection is, I'd like to see it.
Mm.
I think it'd be awesome to see Fantasia sort of done with that live orchestra. I suppose almost silent movie style in that way.
Mm.
Which would be quite cool. Now Fantasia's running time is 125 minutes. So you wouldn't be able to do that then. So that'd be what, 2 hours for the first act, and then it'd be whatever Fantasia 2000's running time is for the second act, so that would be a little bit too long. But I think Fantasia 2000... I can't find how long Fantasia 2000 is. But yeah, that would definitely be too long. But it would be awesome to see that live on that big screen with that live orchestra. So £15, you say, for the bottom price?
£15 to £55. So even the top price is not too bad, considering you're seeing the London Philharmonia.
Yeah, which would be awesome. And for anybody who's never been to these sort of screenings with a live orchestra, it is so different to what you've seen if you've seen it on film. Because on film, you know, even if they do record the sound, you never quite get it live, so to speak. You don't get that live sort of sound. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you actually see a live orchestra do it, it would be amazing. It would be a totally different experience with that live orchestra, and it obviously being on a massive screen as well. So if you are thinking about going, do, because it would be awesome. Right, that is all of our news and rumours. Coming up, it's our Idiot's Guide to Vinylmation. Where's me woohoo?
Woohoo!
Woo!
Hi everyone, this is Craig Duncan. Please come and join me for my soul show every Sunday at 9 o'clock UK, 4 p.m. Eastern. You'll only find me on Orlando Sky Radio. Come by and say hi.
With every sun that comes up, comes the question, where to go out on this town? Downtown Disney. It's like hitting the hot spots of every happening city on the planet. Restaurants you've read about. Shops you've dreamed about. Clubs that cut your curiosity loose. Downtown Disney. In a city of choices, the metropolis of fun.
Right, are you a Vinylmation collector? I think us three are, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Juz, you kind of are.
Kind of. I've gone for the ones I like.
Yeah, okay, so you're sort of a collector of things that you like. I think we can call you a collector. Not an addicted collector, but definitely a collector.
Okay.
I'm a collector, but I'm a collector of certain ones. Kez, are you a collector?
A selective collector as well. So I go for things that either have a meaning or a character that I like, or probably above all, a design that I like.
Right, okay. So you're quite selective in that sense, just as I am, just as Juz is. Right, so the idea of sort of this is, you know, none of us can say we are absolute experts like people like Nick are on Vinylmation. We know enough to understand how it all works, and we know enough to be able to share with you our experiences of it. So, Juz, do you want to sort of explain what exactly Vinylmations are?
The pieces of plastic that you used to find in your cornflake box as a freebie.
They're a little bit higher than that, are they not?
They're little bits of plastic, 3 inches tall, that look like Mickey Mouse with different things painted on them. When you start describing them, you start thinking, what on earth am I doing even thinking of buying these?
Yeah.
I could describe the big ones to you dead easy. Imagine all those little money boxes you had as kids that cost about £1.50, and they're exactly the same as them.
Kez, have you got anything else to add to that?
From a design point of view, they're kind of like little 3D canvases with art on them, in the shape of Mickey Mouse primarily, but there have been like one or two other ones produced in a Disney set that aren't Mickey Mouse shaped. And it's a craze that started off in Hong Kong in the 90s, because I collected what you would class as Vinylmation back in the early 2000s when I worked at a design studio in London.
Right.
And there were ones called Donnies, which were rabbit-shaped.
Right.
And Keys, that were bears, and all the designers there, we used to collect them and swap them. I see them as little pieces of artwork.
Well, that's
I collected Captain Hook and all the Explorers from a cornflake boxes when I was a kid, and that's where they started from.
Wow, look at you. That's like proper old. Yeah, they started in the 80s. One of the things that I think you need to make clear is that Disney is very much like the pin trading phenomenon. Mm-hmm. It wasn't invented by Disney. It's just that Disney saw it and went, that's quite cool. We'll actually hack into sort of that. And this 2008 was about the first time that Vinylmation came around, although it wasn't 2008 when it first started for Disney. It was, do you remember the giant ones they created for Mickey's 75th birthday? That they posted all around Walt Disney World. I think it was about 2003-ish, wasn't it? And they had these giant Mickeys, of which different sort of celebrities designed, and they put them out and about. And that was sort of the first time we saw these sort of Vinylmation things happening. But it wasn't until 2008 that Disney really came good and started to create all of these Vinylmations themselves. What are they? Yeah, they're basically, I kind of like Kez's analogy of them being little canvases, because that's basically what they are. They're just small figures that were in the shape of Mickey Mouse that then can be painted in different ways. Their heads come off. Hang on. Oh, that one didn't come off. There you go. Their heads come off. Go back on again. There we go. That was my... Oh, what's that one? My Park 6 monorail orange. There he is. And you can buy blank ones to customise yourselves, or you can buy them and they're all done by different artists. Now, Juz has mentioned that you get them in 3-inch... But you also get them in two other sizes as well. Anybody know the sizes?
9-inch.
9-inch.
And 1.5-inch.
1.5-inch. And yes, 9-inch, 1.5-inch key rings, they're really called. The 9-inch are the larger ones. The 1.5-inch are usually known as Vinylmation Junior. And they often come as a key ring as well. Just to give you an idea of what Disney described them as, Vinylmation is a new collectible vinyl series featuring original designs from Disney theme park merchandise. This was from Park Series 1. Interestingly, Park Series 1 also said, available exclusively at Disney theme park merchandise locations, Vinylmation is available in 3-inch and 9-inch sizes. Vinylmation is a cool new Disney collectible. That's what they sort of said back in 2008 when they released the first one. So you get the three different sizes. You'll find that the majority of them are released in 3-inch. You then usually get some 9-inch that might be slightly different design, or you can get some that are the same design as well. But we get different sets and different styles. Does anybody want to sort of explain a little bit about the different sets that you can get with regards to Vinylmation?
Well, there's lots. Some are based around theme park attractions. Some are based around films and their characters, and some are like random art ones. So they're urban ones are more like random art shaped Mickey things. The park ones are usually like park icons, like the monorail, or attractions. Because I have a really lovely Cali River Rapids one, which is like the prize of my collection. And you have the character ones. So there was a set called Fairy Friends that came out recently.
No, we don't talk about Fairy Friends.
Which were beautiful most of the time, except for the paint where it was incredibly dodgy.
And so interestingly, they still appear in the Vinylmation Vault series on their website.
Yes, I had a fairy friend, two fairy friends, and they were
fine. That just sounds really wrong. Anyway, I'm slightly concerned about that. Jez, what have you got in your set? Are you just, pirates?
Just biting my lip. Yeah, I think that's all I've got, isn't it? It's Pirates of the Caribbean and the one that Dunks got me, and then I got the 2 9-inches.
Which is the urban, wasn't it, that Dunks got you, is that right?
Yes.
So let's just explain a little bit about some of the differences. As Kat has already said, you've got your Vinylmation Park series, which are all related to things from the Walt Disney World theme parks or Disneyland parks. There are some that come from some of the other parks as well, but not so many. Just to give you an idea of what sort of appeared recently, we've had the Park Series 7, we've got the Kali River Rapids one, which Kez was just talking about. We've got the Star Jets, which comes from the 74 Magic Kingdom in the new series as well. We've got the Tinkerbell, another Tinkerbell, which was 1985, I think that one's from. We've got a Polynesian Resort, we've got a World of Motion Dragon, the Journey into Imagination Figment is in this set, the Earful Tower is in there as well, Mickey's PhilharMagic, which is a 2003, the Millennium Celebration. They've got a Mickey Mouse holding a wand, which is to represent what happened with the Epcot's spaceship Earth. Muppet 3D, which I love, the Muppet 3D one. Americron Parade is in there. The Cinderella's Castle version, a version of Magic Mickey is in there as well. And then you also get, you get what is called basically the Chaser, which comes as part of that, which they've got this year as the Cinderella Castle one. But I'll explain a little bit more about those in a second. Now, Craig collects quite a lot. You just say you've just got the Pirates of the Caribbean. What sets do you mostly collect, Kez?
It's really whatever takes my fancy in terms of design. I've got the Have a Laugh ones, I've got the park ones, I've got urban ones, Star Wars ones, which I love. I've got Darth Vader. and I like the flag ones. They're very cool.
The flag ones are cool. Now, I personally am a big fan of the park series. I'll get as many park series as I can. I really like sort of like the animation ones. We've had series one and series two of the animation, which are cool. Basically, I like any of them that are Disney related. If they link back to Disney in some way, I like them. Mm-hmm. But I have a really big issue with the Vinylmation Urban series. Now, we'll explain what this is. This is basically Disney's way of creating Vinylmation that have nothing really to do with Disney, but have got maybe some retro or pop culture idea, and they link in through that to basically create a Mickey Mouse. Because my problem with this is they have absolutely nothing to do with Disney whatsoever. And I've got a couple of urban because I was they were sort of the only ones I could get hold of at the time. I've got the monkey one, I've got popcorn one as well, and I think I've got another one, I can't remember which one it is. Oh, I've got the text one, which I got from Mouse Meets last year. But they really have absolutely nothing to do with Disney whatsoever. And it would be like Disney releasing pins that have nothing to do with Disney, but you could buy them in Disney World. And that's kind of the way I look at urban. They're just in the shape of Mickey Mouse, but actually the majority of them have absolutely nothing to do with Walt Disney or Disney or the Disney the brand whatsoever. Am I wrong in that? Or does just you agree? You no doubt have an opinion on this.
I agree. I do think it's become which is a phenomenon. And the downside of that is it's been over-milked at the moment, which is why I think at one stage, I think we're seeing a set out every 2 weeks at one stage.
It did get really...
And it was just ludicrous, and they're just producing stuff and going, oh, well, the reason it's nothing to do with Disney is because it's done by this particular artist.
Yeah.
You know, and people like me and they probably end up going for the ones which are Disney-related rather than...
Yeah, usually. There are occasions when there might be something that I don't like, the UK flags, the London exclusive taxi and bus. We've got those as well.
But they're nine inches, aren't they?
That's slightly different.
That's a different beastie, I think.
So let's just kind of explain the different series that have been available since the incarnation of Vinylmation. We've got the Urban series. Now, there's seven different Urban series now. Each of them have a set of different... different Vinylmation you can collect, and we'll come back to how many you get in a set and that sort of stuff in a little while. We've got the Vinylmation Park series. Series 7 has just come out, so we've got the 7 series of that. We've got the Vinylmation Cutesters, which I don't like. There's been sort of 3 series of that, Series 1 and Series 2, and then there's been the Like You series that have come out as well. We've got the Vinylmation Holiday series. We've got 3 Vinylmation Holiday series. I don't mind these too much because they're obviously linked to the holidays. There's some cool ones in there. There's also some in there that I look at and think, why did you bother putting those in? But there are some really cool ones and some nice 9 inches in there as well, which are quite cool. We've got the Vinylmation Junior, which again are just small key rings. They are 1.5 inch. There, we've had 5 series of those. 2 series of the Muppets, which are really cool. We then have what they call the Vinylmation Open Edition. That basically means there's an unlimited run on how many there's going to be of these things. We've had like Animal Kingdom, the Bakery series, the Big Eyes, the Celebrations ones, Chinese New Year, Flags, Nerds, NFL, which are cool. There's the Occupation ones, Sea Creatures, Sports, Tron. Got my Tron. Walt Disney World 40th anniversary ones as well, which I've got the set of, which are really cool. And there's ones called Oh Mickey as well, and there's some 1.5 inch of those as well. We've then got the Vinylmation, which are commemorative and commemorative events and years. So they will always release them for each year. So there's some 2011 ones. There's currently one 2012, I believe, at the moment, which is a Valentine's one, I want to say. Yes, it is a Valentine's one. So they have them to commemorate the different seasons and things like that as well. And you get sort of special ones to celebrate special events. So there was one for the D23 Expo. There were several, actually, for the Florida Project, including, I'm sure there was an orange bird in there somewhere. We then get to the Vinylmation Limited Release, and this basically means there are only so many of them, and once they're gone, they're gone. There's the clear set, there's the Have a Laugh, which although apparently is limited release, there seems to be an unlimited supply going through the UK Disney stores. The Nightmare Before Christmas, Toy Story, and the Pirates of the Caribbean collection, which I believe Jess has got the whole set of. There's cast member exclusives, there's create your own figures, there's Star Wars, there's also limited edition sets, including one for 2010. There was a sushi, a theme park one, and a Disney afternoon, and the Disney afternoon ones are proper cool. I really like the Disney afternoon ones. There's also animation 1 and 2. There's the Vinylmation one of a kind, they call them, which are sort of individuals, they just come as one on their own. And there were some cool ones that came out as that, and some of them were Vinylmations that weren't exactly in the shape of Mickey Mouse. There was a Pirates of the Caribbean one that was really cool, that just looked like the pirate from Pirates of the Caribbean. There was a sort of almost punk clown one as well. And there were several sort of different ones that didn't fit the mould that you would expect the Vinylmation to include. There was then the Vinylmation Robots. There was one series of that. There's a load of Vinylmation for the cruise line as an exclusive. And then they have the Disney Store ones, which is the one Kez was on about earlier with her fairy friends. There was that. There was Villains 1 and 2, The Lion King. And then you've got city exclusives. So New York, London, San Francisco, Copenhagen and Dublin all had their own exclusives that came out. Some were 3 inch, some were 9 inch. I think that covers all of the Vinylmation that have been released since day one, as far as I know. But each set has 12 figures. And as part of those 12 figures that you get, you also get what we call the Chaser. Now, does anyone want to explain what we mean by the Chaser? Who knows more about this? Kez will know more about this with the Chaser.
Okay. Well, Chaser is like the secret one that you don't know the design of. So on the box, you'll see a little outline of Mickey in black with a white question mark. And it's a special Vinylmation. And there's one in every... They come in trays. Is it 24 in a tray, I think?
24 in a tray, yeah.
And there's one Chaser in that 24. And they're blind box, which means that you can't see what you're getting when you buy it for most of the Vinylmation series. And so it's potluck. And it's a very special... Vinylmation.
You know, some people that reckon they've got a theory as to how you can get the ones that you want and that sort of stuff. The theories don't always work, and I'll give you an example. I went into the Sheffield store on Friday. I was up there and I picked up a Have a Laugh one, and she went, I know what that one's going to be. That's going to be the pumpkin one, that is. I went, oh, brilliant, I've got that one. I opened it and it wasn't. And she reckoned there was something to do with the barcodes that she could work out where she got it wrong. I ended up with a Lonesome Ghost one, which is
that's
fine.
Just good sell appeal. She knew she
exactly
could
what it was. I've got the Lonesome Ghost from the Have a Laugh, which is fine because I've not got that one anyway. But yeah, it wasn't the pumpkin one, as she said. Now, Kez has just mentioned something about blind box, and we also get what we call open box. Juz, do you want to explain a little bit the difference between blind box and open box?
Yeah, open boxes, you go into any Disney store, you'll find all the boxes been bashed up.
No, that's just if it's in the UK.
It's a UK exclusive.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be tough if you were buying a 9-inch blind box, because that'd be really bad. Blind boxes, which is something I totally disagree with, you can't see what you're buying.
Basically.
You have no idea what is inside the box. You only know what set you're buying from.
Yeah, so you could end up with three of the same.
Which is absolutely fair enough. No, it's not fair enough. The whole thing, it's a very expensive thing, and you should be able to see what you're buying, and I'm sure Trade Description Act somewhere says that you can't do that. Because you really don't know what you're buying. It annoys the hell out of me. The idea is, in the bigger cases like the States, then perhaps you have the ability to go to the parks and do more swapping, but
well,
you can't swap in store.
We'll come on to Trade in a moment and explain.
Well, Adam will explain how they did the swapping in Disneyland.
In Disneyland Paris, and how it doesn't work.
And open box, of course, you can see what you get.
Yes, exactly right. So,
say what you see as we walk.
What have we got here then? So I've got a load that weren't open box and some that are. So obviously the Have a Laugh, my park series were blind box. I've got the whole of the 40th anniversary series. They were open box. They're not in the boxes now. But this week, thank you, thanks to Phil. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. I got two Tron Vinylmation, of which are open box. Basically, they have a clear front. So I knew exactly which two I was getting from that because of the two that I asked for. Whereas a lot of the others, you end up with some that aren't. But you also end up sometimes with things called variants. And this is where it does get a little bit confusing because suddenly you'll have some that are variants and some that aren't. So I'll give you an example of the ones that I've got. I have got from the Animation 2 series, the Donald Duck from Fantasia 2000, where he plays the part of Noah from Noah's Ark, basically. Now, the whole of the Vinylmation, apart from the ears, are covered to make up Donald in that particular outfit. But his ears, or the Mickey Mouse ears, on this example, make it look like it's raining. Whereas there is also a variant where it isn't raining. So there was an option to collect two of the same version. Now, there's a bit of confusion as to which ones I've got. Now, from what we understand, the one I have here in the US is basically the standard Vinylmation with the rain. Whereas the one without the rain is the variant. The variant basically is a sort of lesser, rarer Vinylmation. Whereas in the UK, apparently the rain... Donald is the variant and the one without the rain is more common. So I have basically a more rare Vinylmation, which is part of this variant. Now, what you can also get with other variants is things like a change in colour. So it might be a different colour monorail, or you might have one which standard is blue, but actually is a variant that's also green, and they're more rare to collect, basically. So they could be not worth more because you don't sell them, but worth more when it comes to trading them, which we'll come on to in a second. There's also custom Vinylmations. Now, these aren't ones that are sold in the parks. These are almost like an offshoot of what Vinylmation has become, where you can buy blank Vinylmations, or people will often have Vinylmations that they've got more than one of, and then they'll paint them white or whatever colour they're going to use as a base colour, and then they will create their own Vinylmation. Some are better than others, and some people do sell them, and that's fine because they're creating their own versions. But there are custom Vinylmations, so be careful if you are trading that you don't suddenly see or on eBay that somebody's selling a custom Vinylmation of a monorail, because it isn't necessarily part of the park series because it's been made by somebody else. Let's talk about then trading itself. And Jess has just mentioned something about in-park trading. And I suppose there is kind of an etiquette to in-park trading. Has anybody done in-park trading?
I've done it at D Street in downtown Disney.
Do you want to explain exactly what happened in D Street?
Okay.
Because I kind of know what's supposed to happen, but it's always...
This is quite a cheeky story as well, because a class member comes up to me and goes... There was some open box 2011 because we were over in October. And they were selling them for $2.99. So they said, right, just buy a couple of those and then trade them in the box. So they bring out a fiberglass box, a big black box, and you can't see what's in it. It's got, I think, 24 doors in.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me. What's that program that was on telly that Des O'Connor used to present? He used to swap you.
Oh,
do you remember? He used to have a key for a box.
The money on the box, yeah.
The money, and he used to give you them. It always reminds me of that. Someone's going
to take your pick.
Yeah, that's it. Take your pick.
There you go. So it's like take your pick, and you give them your Vinylmation. You pick a number, and then you get the Vinylmation that is behind that number. And you basically have to take what you're given. You can't then swap it again.
No,
at
so
that
reject
location.
It, you... But you can't then trade
again
from the same box.
But then you can just go up the road and trade
again. Yeah, you can go to another one. So basically it's one trade per store.
Location, yeah.
Per location.
Today. But they are kind of... Because I think... So many people had done what I was told to do that there were loads of these 2011 ones in there. So I traded for exactly the same one, but they said, oh, it doesn't matter. So they let me do it again. And also they have a little box of three that you can see.
Yes.
So you know exactly what you're getting. So if the blind box selection of 24 goes wrong, then you can go to the clear box of three and trade there.
Right, so you've still got that option. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to make it clear, usually what will happen, you'll go up, you will give them the Vinylmation, they will tell you this is the one you've got, and you can say, no, thank you, but then you can't trade with that box again.
Mm.
Or you can go to Disneyland Paris and do it slightly differently, which is what happened with me. And I've told this story, but I'll tell it again very quickly. I turned up, I'd bought three, I think, from the park series that they got on sale there. I opened them up, I ended up with a Troll, I think it was, and I didn't want it, so I decided I would trade it. And I went up to the counter and said, you've got a training box, can I trade my Vinylmation? Yes, you can trade your Vinylmation. She took my Vinylmation off me, then she just basically took the back off it, turned it around and went, which one do you want? and that's when I traded. That's when I got my popcorn one. I traded it for the popcorn from the Urban, whichever one it is. That was the way I trade. But you are supposed to trade one at a time within those boxes. Mm. Now, there's also obviously the etiquette of trading with other people, because obviously you can trade with people outside of the parks and inside of the parks. Now, people do carry Vinylmations around. It's not quite the same as pin trading, that they've got them out on show. But obviously there is an etiquette to trading Vinylmation, which works in the same way as everybody else. It's not going up to someone going, I want that one, and you're going to give me it, and I'm going to give you this. There are some people who are very worldly wise in Vinylmation, and basically the trading etiquette, and jump in here if you think there's anything else, is that obviously you've got to ask them whether they're willing to trade that particular Vinylmation. Also, you've got to be aware of the Vinylmation you're trying to trade with regards to what they're trying to give you. So if you were to trade, let's say I've got here, I've got an open box, limited edition, Mediterranean Disney Cruise Line, which if I was to trade, I would expect to get something pretty rare for.
Mm.
Now, there wouldn't be any point in me going up and trading it for something from Park 7, because I can go to the parks and I can buy a Park 7. So I would be looking maybe to trade that for something from an earlier series of Vinylmation that isn't available. So it might be that I trade it for maybe the Series 1 for Park Series, or maybe Series 2. Or maybe I'd go for something like the limited release or the limited edition sets, like the Disney Afternoon. Because the Disney Afternoon were very, very rare indeed. And there's some really great ones in there. There's like a Scrooge McDuck that's in there that I might decide I want to trade for that. So I could trade for that if I wanted to. So be aware. Also, that there are some times that you could trade 9 inches for 3 inches. And I'll give you an example of what some people have tried, have just done. The 9-inch London taxi and bus have been reduced ridiculously over here in the UK to something like £5.99. I think they went down to. So what some collectors in the UK have done is bulk bought a load of them to take over to the US to then exchange or to trade with US collectors for 3-inch of ones they haven't got, because the actual trade value of a 9-inch versus a 3-inch is quite big. So they're able to get some, and others are getting at 9 inches, and actually they ended up getting a really good deal because they're getting them cheaper than what you would pay for a 3-inch in both the UK and the US. Has anybody got anything else they want to add about sort of etiquette about that?
No, I think that covers it.
Trading online is another one. Facebook is a brilliant place for trading online, especially if you're in the UK. There is a UK Vinylmation trading group of which people will go up and regularly post photos of the trades that they've got. You've got to remember that obviously when you're trading for as seen. You can't have it and go, yeah, that'll do, I'll send mine off. And also you've got to be aware that obviously within trading etiquette, if you are trading with somebody and you've agreed a trade, that you send that Vinylmation off fairly quickly, because you can't wait for the other one to come and then send it off a week later. There is that sort of etiquette that goes within trading as well, but again, you'll be very aware of what it is you're trading. Be careful. You can buy them in places like eBay. People do sell Vinylmations on eBay. You be very aware that people will buy limited edition ones and then stick them straight on eBay, and they'll go for an exorbitant fee. So don't get stung with the costs on there. But also there has been I just heard the stories about some coming from places like China and Japan that look like authentic vinyls, but actually when they arrive, aren't.
There's also, you know, you get scrapper pins, so basically ones that didn't meet the quality control. Yes. There's a lot of those Vinylmation coming over from Hong Kong as well.
So be aware of that too. Mm-hmm. Beware of that was going on. So let's just mention, where's the availability of these Vinylmation in Walt Disney World and Disneyland Paris and in the UK? Juz, UK is...
Sorry, I wasn't listening to the question.
See, he's dropped off.
No, I wasn't. I was actually thinking, I was thinking about the grey imports, and I was thinking of Dunks with his grey import of pins and...
Oh yeah,
I was off on one. Sorry.
Go on. You we're talking about the places to get them in the UK. Got a mission.
Well, good luck on getting them from a Disney store. Good luck on getting them from the internet, from Disney internet store. Your best place to get Vinylmations is from the Facebook Vinylmation Trader thing.
Yeah,
because sometimes people sell them as well on there.
Or you can obviously get people when they're going away to go and get them for you.
Is everyone's bringing them back. Someone's going to get caught in customs as being a Vinylmation mule.
Dunks is our Vinylmation mule. What are you on about?
If you are asking people to bring them back from the States, what I will say is have a little respect and say forget about the boxes, just bring the Vinylmation back.
Yeah, please do, because actually with the boxes, they're quite bulky and certainly I know we've had, and the same happened with you with your Pirates, isn't it, that when I got all of the 6 40th anniversary ones, it would have been lovely to have had them all kept in open boxes, but the logistics of Craig bringing back 6 Vinylmations in boxes wasn't going to happen, so he just brought the Vinylmation back and then sent them to me wrapped up. So yes, that's a very good point, I think, of that. But you can get them online, disneystore.co.uk. You can get them in store, but we do seem to still have that issue with basically when they're going to appear, where they're going to appear, how they're going to appear. Lion King came back online for about 30 minutes or something like that, and then we've had the Animation 2, which seem to have just disappeared really, really quickly. The Have a Laugh just seem to be constantly in stock, and they constantly seem to be in stock in store as well, so you can get them from there. In Walt Disney World, Kez?
You can get them from Downtown Disney and all the theme parks, and they're always really well stocked up, and the box is not usually damaged, which is good.
And they're usually about $12, I want to say.
They range between $9.95 upwards.
Yeah,
because I got some very extortionate wedding ones when I was out there, when my parents got them for me. Ouch. Which is nice, but they were like $18 each plus tax.
Wow. Okay. So
which is ridiculous. But
so they are quite expensive. But
they're only 3 inches. Open box.
They do go up in price depending on what sort of limited edition and whether it's an open series, all that sort of stuff.
Standard one's about $9.95.
If you head over to Disneyland Paris, then basically they are available in several of the stores in the parks. If you go to the Christmas shop, they usually have quite a nice collection inside Cinderella's Castle. They usually have a big selection in the Emporium down in Main Street. In the Walt Disney Studios, you've got the shop on the left, which I always forget the name of, inside Studio One, right to the very back corner. They have a big Funimation selection there as well, and they have a few dotted around the rest of the park. And then if you go down to the what used to be the sort of the Disney Gallery, they have a huge amount in there, which they also have trading locations. Now, the trading locations in Disneyland Paris are few and far between. The Emporium did have one. I've seen it, and then I've been in again, and it's disappeared, and I've come back, and it's been there again. They do, in the old Disney Gallery store, they do still have a Vinylmation trading point there, so you can go and collect them from there as well. Is there anything else we need to think of? I don't think so. I think we've covered everything. Oh, Park Stars we haven't mentioned, which is something Disney tried, which was, because Kesma already mentioned about them not being in Mickey Mouse shape. They did a series called Park Stars, which were Vinylmation, but they were in the shape of that particular character. So they've got the robot butler from Horizons as part of it. I think they had a skeleton pirate, and they've got Ice Gator and
Tiki Bird.
Lincoln. Tiki Bird's one of them.
Small World.
That's right. They had the goat and the boy. And my favourite one was the Funmeister from Pleasure Island, which is the moon-faced man, which they had, which I really quite liked. And I'm not sort of adverse to them creating more of these Park Stars ideas, as long as they're linked to stuff that we know as Disney fans, rather than just random stuff. So there's I love the bride from Haunted Mansion, because she has the axe in her hand and everything, which is really cool. And the Figment one was quite cool as well. So there are some nice ones in there. But do obviously be very, very aware of where you're getting them from, how much they're going to cost you, all that sort of stuff. And has anybody else got anything else to add about Vinylmation other than what I've said?
No, just be aware they're very addictive.
Yeah. Why are they so addictive? What is it?
Because there's a lot of them, and people naturally, when you start collecting it and you have a vast thing to pick up or sets to collect, we're naturally people who just go, oh, I want that one to build up a set. And before they know where they are, they've got a whole glass cabinet full, a la Dunks.
Because we used to joke about with Nick, didn't we, about how much he got into it. And I still remember the episode of Final Orlando when he went and bought his first Vinylmation and how much we took it out of him because he got into it so much. And then we got a few and we suddenly went, I quite like that one. I quite like that one. That one's quite cool. And then suddenly we've started collecting them as well now. Kez, what is it for you? Is it the design point of view, or?
I think it is. I used to collect pins, and I still kind of do, but Vinylmation is kind of taken over from that now. And it is, it's a design, or if they mean, so like my wedding ones mean a lot to me because I got them when I got married at Disney. And things like the Cali River Rapids, that is one of my like most favourite rides in Animal Kingdom. But the design of that one is absolutely beautiful.
So it's designed for you, it's Disney-related, theme park-related thing for me, and just for you, it's just about specific sets, is that right?
Yeah, things I like. The Pirates I love, so I obviously wanted that.
So you got
that.
The Pirates one, yeah. And the Haunted Mansion set that's coming out at some point is sort of a must-have for me. So, it's so addictive, I know. And I went into the UK store in Sheffield and they only had one Have a Laugh, and I was so disappointed because I wanted two. But having said that, it had been sellotaped back together. Because somebody had decided they wanted to look inside. And we still have this problem in the UK, don't we? That people are not quite fully understanding what it's all about, and people are still sort of taking them, so to speak, and having a look and then putting them back. And in fact, there was one woman I saw while I was in there who looked, picked one up, had a look at it, didn't understand it, put it back down again, but nobody went to see her. But there we go. That's another discussion for another time, which I'm sure we've mentioned many, many times. So, anything else? Anybody got anything else on Vinylmation before we wrap this up?
No, because your tea's ready downstairs.
Yeah, my wife has just sent me a message telling me my tea is ready. Can you believe it? We're so professional, aren't we? Hey. Well, there we go. That is everything for this edition. If you do have anything you want to say about Vinylmation we haven't covered, please email us podcast@disneybrit.com. And we will certainly make sure we include it on the next show. That's the end of it. Episode 88. Thank you once again for joining us. Thanks to our sponsors, touringplans.com. That's what they need next. They need a touring plan for Vinylmation collecting. The shortest queues to buy your Vinylmation on the days of release. And how you can fit a few rides in as well. We'll go on to Len. He'll sort that out. Thank you to them anyway. Touringplans.com. You can sign up for their crowd calendar. You can get your touring plans. And you can also subscribe to Lines as well. Thank you to Jess and to Kez for joining me yet again. That's it. Kez has got two under her belt now.
Hey.
And you can email us your questions, comments and suggestions at podcast@disneybrit.com. Or you can ring our US voicemail number, which is...
407-545-7980. That caught me off balance.
I know you're talking to Zoe. Yeah, I know you're talking to my wife while we're doing the show. They're just pulling funny faces at each other on Skype. You can check out our website, disneybrit.com. You can find all the latest news and everything that's on there. We've got loads of really great stuff that goes up because we've got loads of us adding stuff on there. So there's news almost daily going up on the website. You can check out our Facebook page, our Disney Brit fan page. You can friend up myself. You can friend up Kez. You can friend up Juz. And don't forget, you can still download Mouse Mag. You can download that from mousemag.com. We are looking at other ways of getting that available online. You can also get it from the Mag Cloud app as well. We've also got all of our other shows still going on. Eye on Orlando is still available on as a download. You can also listen to that on Orlando Sky Radio. Don't forget Craig's Soul Show. You can listen to that every Friday evening at 9 p.m. UK time. That's 4 p.m. Eastern time. And that's now available as a download from iTunes as well, so you can listen to that. You've got discot.net. Head over there. Make sure you join in what's going on with everything over there. And then that's pretty much it, I think. And that leaves me to tell you nothing. Will you stop talking to my wife and concentrate, the pair of you? Can you believe it? The next show will be out on Wednesday, the 29th of February. Yes, on a leap year day. Can you believe that? So until then, we'll see you.